This is Sam. Sam here with Lotto. I am the communications committee chair for the alumni board, and it's your communications committee that is hosting this event today. So today we bring to you our new CEO, Chris Benninger. This is touted as a town hall meeting, and I have some general questions. I have some questions that have been sent in from various people, some of whom I don't think I heard anybody's voices yet, but perhaps they're there. So I'll bring those questions up, and then I hope at the end we'll have some room for a few more questions from the floor. But without further ado, I would like to start with, good afternoon, Chris, are you there?
I'm here. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks, Sam.
Okay. We would like it if you could tell us a little bit about yourself to start with. Introduce yourself to everybody.
Sure. Well, first of all, I just want to say hello and thank you for giving me time on your alumni, town hall to meet all of you, at least at this point on the phone. I'm hoping I can meet everyone in person. But I have been at Guide Dogs now 4.5 weeks. And I'm thrilled to be here, absolutely thrilled to be here. My background is that I started life off as an auditor with Arthur Anderson. I then went back to business school at Stanford and got an MBA, and then I went to work for Hewlett-Packard for 15 years. At Hewlett-Packard, I did a number of things, the last of which was basically managing three computer manufacturing divisions, one in California, one in Australia, and one in Germany. And then I left the corporate world, and in 1993, I went to work for Humane Society Silicon Valley. So I kind of followed my heart. I've always been... I've always had a real love for animals, and there was an opening in this at Humane Society Silicon Valley for the president's position. I applied for it, never thinking I would get it. I'm still shocked that I did get it, but they offered me the job, and I took it without even really knowing what the salary was, just because it was just... Absolutely, it felt good from a heart perspective, and it was an amazing journey for 17 years. I was there for 17 years. When I started with Humane Society Silicon Valley, it really was an interesting time because it soon became apparent that the organization was in pretty dire straits. We probably were looking at 4 to 6 months, and if something didn't if we didn't turn the organization around in that period of time, probably we're going to have to close our doors. At the time, we were taking in 50,000 animals a year, and we were euthanizing 35,000 of those animals. And it was hard. I mean, I have to say that was really hard. But the good thing about when things get tough, it means that you get focused and you get dedicated to making a difference and making that change. So fast forward 17 years, we went from taking in 50,000 animals a year to reducing that excess population to about just under 20,000, probably about 18, 19,000 animals. We reduced that euthanasia figure from 35,000 animals a year down to under 500. Every animal that came through our doors, we have been able to find a home for, no matter how long it took. We were able to build a completely new facility during that time, and it was the first of its kind in the country. We called it an animal community center rather than a shelter, because the whole concept was, how do you embrace community and really make it a place that people want to come? During my time at the Humane Society, I've always looked up to Guide Dogs, because I really believe that Guide Dogs is kind of the gold standard for all of us at within animal welfare. And so when this job, when I heard that this job was available, again, I threw my hat in the ring, really sort of keeping my fingers crossed and hoping that I would be chosen, and I was. And I am absolutely, absolutely thrilled to be here. So that's kind of my background.
Chris, can you tell us about your transition from the public sector corporate world to the Humane Society? I assume the Humane Society was a not-for-profit?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
So what kind of, was that a, is there anything you can say about that transition, differences in how you had to change at all, if at all?
You know, I will say that it is a big transition coming from the corporate world into the nonprofit world, and particularly, I can't say that word, a world where animals are involved. And the big difference is passion, is heartfelt passion. Mm-hmm. In the corporate world, I think as most people know, it's all about the bottom line, right? It's about enhancing shareholder wealth. In the nonprofit world, you have to control, you know, your expenses, but that's not what it's about. It's really about the mission. And so I really think that, you know, managing within the nonprofit world is harder because you've got to balance that mission with also making certain that the organization stays afloat. But the difference, the real difference for me is that for me it made a huge difference to do something that touched my soul every single day as opposed to just selling more computers, you know. And Guide Dogs is the same way, you know. You leave here every day and you feel good about the organization and what you do.
Which goes to my next question is, and perhaps you've already answered this, but you can reiterate it. Why did you want to come to Guide Dogs? Why did you want to work for, with, or on behalf of Guide Dogs?
Sure. You know, one of the things that is near and dear to my heart is the power of the human-animal bond and seeing literally the magic that happens when, you know, people and animals come together. And literally, you know, Guide Dogs is the power of the human-animal bond on steroids. It's absolutely amazing. And that's what brought me to Guide Dogs. Since I've been here the last 4.5 weeks, it's just amazing how inspirational this whole organization is and everything that it does and all the individuals that are a part of it. One of the highlights of my day is, you know, when I'm on campus, whether here or in Oregon, I always have lunch with our students, and I love that. I absolutely love the opportunity to meet so many fascinating individuals, and, you know, really to learn about their lives, to learn about why they're here at Guide Dogs, hearing about their journey through their 2-week training process. It's just incredibly inspirational for me. And I truly mean that. That's the highlight. It's one of the highlights of my day.
Lunch.
Yeah, lunch, and I get to eat as well. But you know, and then actually having that opportunity to see that human-animal bond just literally working every single day. So that's sort of a synopsis of why I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. I guess you kind of touched on the a burning question that I've heard from more than one grad, which is, do you intend to go under blindfold for a couple of weeks and follow and go through a training process just like the rest of us do, or what? How do you feel about that?
I absolutely want to do that. So what I've done so far, So I've been on the job 4.5 weeks. I'm just trying to kind of get my feet on the ground right now. I pretty much go home every day feeling like there's like not one more fact I can put into my brain before it will explode. But I definitely want to do that. I've done little tiny pieces and parts of that. I've done Juno walks now, and I've also gone under blindfold and worked directly with a guide. Both were utterly amazing experiences. I learned a lot. I will tell you, and I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but it was hard. It was really hard. And, you know, surrendering control to... And his name was Felix, and he was a handsome black lab. But it was hard to surrender that control. And after a few hours of doing that, I was totally exhausted at the end of the day. So much so that someone invited me to dinner, and I said, no, I needed to take a rest. But
now you know why we go to bed at 8:30 at night.
Oh, trust me. I get it. But I appreciate the question, Sam, and that's definitely something within my first year I would like to do.
Okay. And I can tell you that at least one grad has suggested perhaps doing a week in Boring and a week in San Rafael.
I think that's a great idea. Because we do have two campuses.
It's definitely different training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. Can I do Boring when it's sunny?
Yeah.
Fair. There you go.
Thank you.
Now to address kind of the elephant in the room, and I think everybody on the phone probably knows what I'm talking about without even talking about it. There was what's been characterized as crazy making over the last year, and we guide dogs went through some changes and some upheaval. A lot of feelings were hurt, and there was some trust that was broken. I know you're aware of all of that. Do you have any vision for how to rebuild that trust, or where we can go from here to deal with this big elephant in the room and just move it out?
Right. First of all, I really appreciate acknowledging that we have that elephant in the room, and because I always think it's really good to let's just talk about it so the elephant leaves, right?
we move him out.
I agree. I think that, you know, what I've told staff is that particularly this first year, my biggest focus is rebuilding trust, because there's no way that any of us can move forward unless we move forward together. And that's trust with staff, that's trust with volunteers, it's trust with our alumni, it's trust with our donors. And, you know, the only way that, quite personally, I know how to rebuild trust, it means that you need to get to know me, I need to get to know you, it means that I need to be visible, I need to be, you know, out talking, meeting. People need to see me. I need to be transparent about, you know, who I am, you know, where we're going as an organization, what we're planning to do. I need to make certain that, you know, people are involved in decisions and whether there are changes or not. I don't come with an agenda for change for this organization. I don't believe that this organization is broken and, quote, needs to be fixed. I think the biggest opportunities that we have really lie in fundraising and not in taking expenses out of the organization. And, you know, so that's my second focus, is really looking at fundraising as opposed to, you know, how do we, you know, cut costs, that sort of thing. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it's a huge
plan.
Question. It's loaded. Yeah. Very loaded. As alumni, and I think everybody on this call right now is an alumnus,
correct.
Is there anything we can do to assist the organization and you to move forward? Anything you see?
Absolutely. So I really believe in open communication. I will tell you right now, I'm not going to get it right all the time. I'm human. I also know I'm under a microscope right now. I think it's important that, you know, we all succeed. Where you can help me is I want to hear from you. And if I'm not getting it right, let me know that. I'm okay with that. You can, you know, I told one group that, you know, if I'm not getting it right, you can sort of grab the leash and, you know, give me a hard jerk. But I was reminded that it's about positive reinforcement training. So I do like chocolate. So you can do the chocolate, too.
Would you like some kibble?
Chocolate kibble. That's good.
That's right.
But I really mean it. I would like to hear from you, and I want to build a positive relationship. I know it has been difficult. I know it has been difficult. I guess I'm going to ask you to give me a chance. You know, don't condemn me before you know me. But give me the chance, and I would really like that opportunity to, as I said, to work with you and get your honest feedback.
What's the best way to communicate with you and give you feedback?
How should we do that?
You know, you are always welcome to communicate with me directly. You can send me an email. You can give me a call. Teresa is an amazing individual. If you feel more comfortable, you can always go through Teresa. Her office is right next to mine.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
So any way that people feel most comfortable is fine. If you're on campus, I'd love to meet you. I'd love to see you. I will be making trips. I will also be attending some of the conventions, you know, this summer. So hopefully I'll have the opportunity to meet some of you there. So those are opportunities.
Cool. And when are you adopting your first career change?
Oh, God. Okay, so let me tell you. All right, I would have adopted first day I was here. So the rule at Guide Dogs is you have to be here 3 months before you can bring a dog to work.
That's right.
So I'm counting the days. I'm counting down the days.
Can you change that rule?
I know, right?
Yeah, you know, I could. And actually,
she can bring her dog anytime she wants to.
Yeah. But, you know,
there's no glass ceiling here.
That's great. To be honest, you know, honestly, I would change it in a second, but I didn't want to be the type of person who comes in and changes the rules just for them. You know what I mean?
I know. It wouldn't look good.
Yeah. So I currently... I know. I currently have... Yes.
Chris, don't forget we have a psychologist on staff too, so that's also, I'm sure you can avail of her yes. at times.
Yes. Yes.
So you're about to say you currently have?
Oh, I currently have 3 dogs. That's down from 5. Just in the last 6 months, I've lost 2 of my kids. They've had to transition. You know, when you're in the shelter world, you fall in love a lot, but my current family is, I have a basset hound named Hank, I have a 3-legged cattle dog mix named Bess, and I have a chihuahua named Fred. So I have kind of the non-guide dogs right now. I would love to add a career change to my family. so that actually on campus we would be respectable. It's sort of hard to be respectable with a basset hound, a three-legged dog, and a chihuahua.
The chihuahua is what worries me. The chihuahua is the problem.
Yeah.
Does anybody from the floor have any burning questions?
Yes, I do. It's Holly McKnight from Texas, and I'm part of the Lone Star Puppy Club.
Yes.
Which actually, the original Lone Star Puppy Club. I can't even say that anymore because there's five of them.
Wow.
Yay. But did you, in your younger days, adult, college life, whatever, ever see a guide dog and ever get to really ask a lot of questions and stuff before you went into this world? Kind of a lot of people, they're like, oh, I've seen a dog from, when I was in high school or whatever. I don't really know how they work. So did you ever have any real good interactions with someone, and is that what really made you want to do this?
So,
does that make sense?
It does make sense. It absolutely does. And I appreciate the question. Thank you. In my life, I have certainly come across a number of individuals with guides. But to answer your question honestly, prior to really getting involved with guide dogs here, I have not really had that opportunity prior to coming here of really getting to know, a guide dog. However, when I was at the Humane Society, we did do a lot of work with a variety of different constituencies that were working with different types of service dogs or therapy dogs. So in a broader context, I've had that experience, and that to me I found, really inspirational and really rewarding, because again, I believe so strongly in the power of that human-animal bond.
I have a question for Chris. This is Teresa. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the volunteer board work that you do? I think that's kind of fascinating stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Thanks, yeah. Teresa. Mm-hmm. So I currently sit on three nonprofit boards. I am currently on the board of our local YMCA. And the reason I chose to be on the board of the YMCA is because I really believe in supporting our community, and I really think that the YMCA is one of those organizations that does an amazing job of, that does an amazing job of supporting, the health, both, the physical and mental health of our community, without really any strings attached. So I've admired YMCA and I choose to support it. The other organization that I'm on, which has been fascinating, it's the Pan-African Sanctuary Alliance. It's an alliance of 22 primate sanctuaries in Africa. And that has been an amazing learning experience, because
Are they in several countries or just in one?
It's no. Those 22 sanctuaries are in 12 different countries in Africa. Yeah, it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating to learn not only about primates but about Africa, because it is such an interesting country.
It's a fascinating place.
It's a fascinating place, and every country is different. Every country is different.
Yeah.
Then the third organization that I'm on is called Merit Partners, and it works with the Juvenile Youth Authority in the California Central Valley, which is where a lot of, our prisons happen to be located. But it develops work and training programs for students between the ages of 18 and 25 that are incarcerated. Mm. So that when they, get out of prison, they actually have marketable skills and can get a job. And what's really exciting about that program is that the recidivism rate of students that don't go through the program is 70%, and those that do go through the program is 10%.
Wow.
So it,
hello.
Yeah, it really makes a difference.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, there was a question that came in today, Sam. I don't know that you got it yet, but one of our, Carla, was asking about, you know, how you feel about, you know, hiring people who are visually impaired, and do you feel like that
exactly
helps an organization, whether they have a guide dog or not?
I absolutely think it does. Mm-hmm. I absolutely think it does, because it's just like, you know, today I, you know, spent some time in our support center today. And I think that, and you know, through a lot of the work, Teresa, that mm-hmm. you and your staff do as well, mm-hmm. You can connect directly with our students, with our graduates, and quite frankly, you enrich our environment from the standpoint that it helps all of us to gain a better understanding of some of the challenges that our students are facing, that our alumni are facing, and better ways that, you know, we can serve from a nonprofit perspective. So absolutely, I support that 100%.
Kind of a piggyback to that question is, now, you know, there's so much in the ways of technology. I work at American Foundation for the Blind, mm-hmm. for non-vision loss, and so I have clients all the time that come in that are in the process of losing vision, and so one of my main things that I do is showing them different forms of technology, and that can mean anything from an iPad to a GPS to a computer, all those kinds of things. Have you had an experience as yet where you've gotten to play with any toys, technology toys?
You know, I apologize. I didn't quite hear the very end of your question. Have I gotten to a place where I didn't quite hear that?
Have you gotten to play with any technology toys, such as GPS or any of those things?
Oh, I've played with a few of the technology toys that we have here on campus, but you bring up a really interesting question, and I think there's a whole world of opportunity for us at Guide Dogs to be looking at, you know, partnering with some of these other organizations from a technology perspective, mm-hmm. and how can we enhance, you know, the guide dog, you know, experience, and how can we enhance what we do?
Well, there's so many grads. There's one seeing eye grad and one GED grad that come to mind. They're both extremely nerdy people, and I'm friends with both of them, who use, Michael Hinkson, Mike May, who use all those kinds of things, you know, in conjunction with their dogs. Is there going to be a way? I know for me, I have a couple of apps on my phone and stuff, but that's one thing that I would really like to learn how to do, possibly in training. Maybe we can incorporate this later on, is how to use technology such as a GPS or whatever in conjunction with your dog.
I completely agree with you.
I'm not smart enough to figure it out.
Oh, I'm not either,
no.
Because you have to be like 6 years old, right,
to
understand technology.
You have to have at least four hands.
Yes, yeah. But no, I completely agree with you. And guess where Guide Dogs is located? Right, literally in the center of the technology hub for the entire United States.
Yeah, they're saying hello.
Exactly. So we definitely need to incorporate technology. You know, we're what, in the 21st century?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're reading my mind.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we do.
You know, this is Melody Brunson, and the person who just asked that question should probably come to the Tech Dogs call.
Melody is calling tonight. Are you still there?
Because the Tech Dogs is one of the alumni chapters that focuses on technology. And we spend a lot of time talking about GPS.
Wait, the reason I have not been able to go at the meetings is the meetings are right in the middle of our puppy meetings.
Oh,
they are.
Yeah.
Well, you can listen to the recording.
But they're recorded, Holly, and you can listen.
Yeah, I know. Hands for the smack table.
Well, some of us, like including me, need the hands-on thing, right? A little hands-on would help. Yeah, hands-on.
Yeah,
I always thought that might be a fun alumni retreat, actually.
We brought that up at the 2008 alumni reunion. Tracy, you remember this? When we were in Oregon, they had, I think it was a trekker, or a trekker breeze, I'm not sure which one it was.
Yeah, we did both.
But we, several of us got the chance to go out and, like, do the block, just make the block around the hotel using that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's been a couple of events at both conventions, too, where they do TPS, and I think, I would like to ask a question, though, that's a bit related, and that is, could you talk a little bit about plans for the GBB website? I know that there's been some talk among graduates about enhancing it, both in terms
of playing with it, but
accessibility.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you have any things that you can share with us at this point about that.
I'd like to, before you answer that, I'm going to jump in here. The application to apply to GDB is completely buried, just an FYI. It's really hard to find. Where other schools put it right, you know, apply here, blah, 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 you know, whatever. So I just wanted to point that out, that
thank you.
It can be really hard to find. So.
Right.
With that, I'll let you answer.
Well, what I will say is I completely agree with you. We really do need to, you know, enhance our website. It is a priority. We're currently working on it. Just like anything, it is far more complicated than was originally believed, you know, just because there's layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. But in the bigger scheme of things, one of the key focuses over the next year is, actually it's going to be several years, is the whole information technology. So quite frankly, at Guide Dogs, we're behind the times with that. We are in the process of looking for a director of information technology. So in the past, I know that this ends up just being, you know, sort of organizational stuff, but our IT function was sort of buried within the organization, and it's basically been a firefighting group. So what's going to happen is that function is going to be pulled out. It will report directly to me. We're going to be hiring a director of information technology, because again, we need to enter the 21st century, and the website is just one part of all of that, right? You know, so that's definitely a focus. The challenge with that is that, you know, these sorts of things do take time, so it won't happen overnight, but I will tell you that it's definitely a focus for us.
Right, and we can definitely unbury the application. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
They just reskinned it. I don't know how long it's been since whoever asked that, like a couple of weeks ago. They just reskinned.
I didn't identify myself. I apologize. It's Randy from Minnesota.
Okay.
A lot of you don't know who I am, but
hey, Randy. So
you know who I am.
Yeah, totally. When did you look last time? Do you remember?
Chris?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you remember when you looked last time? Because they just redid it. Can you just look again sometime? Let me know.
Yeah, within the last couple of weeks.
Okay, well, I'll let them know that it's not coming up, because it comes up visually.
The dust clouds were revamping the site. I'm like, I hit on the apply link or whatever, and I'm just like, okay, it's not coming up here.
Okay, well, I'll let them know.
So the link's not working.
So if somebody can look again and email me and let me know, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chris, I have a question.
Okay, yes, go for it.
My name is Randy with Webster.
Hi, Randy.
Look him up.
You have talked about the first year. Have you begun to develop, or have you developed, a 5-year goal or plan or you'd like to see GDB within the next 5 years or 10 years?
So I've been on the job 4.5 weeks.
Excellent question, Randy.
Yeah. Only takes 2 weeks, though, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You guys are tough customers.
Congratulations.
Yeah. But let me, so the short answer is no. Let me give you the longer answer, though, which is that as an executive team, so what I will call the executive team is myself, Teresa, and the other directors who report directly to me. What we've agreed is that the whole strategic plan and strategic vision and focus is a priority for us to develop, and because it's not you know, I have some thoughts, but it has to be something that we as a team need to discuss and fully embrace as a team. Mm-hmm. So what we have agreed to do is set aside, you know, half a day per month to get together and just focus strictly on that strategic plan. So it is a focus, and what I hope is that if you can ask me that in 6 months, I can give you a better answer.
Right. Thank you.
Sure. It's Heather here, up in Canada with Guide Dog Nimitz.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hi. I'm also a bureaucrat in recovery, so I teaching plans right up my alley, but I'm also a community developer and advocate. So one of the things I notice a lot in organizations that do for people, they do for, not with. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. one of the mm-hmm. things I would suggest you consider in your strategic planning process is as you start to put pieces together, maybe add an alumni into the team that are doing specific works in certain areas.
Yes.
Because a lot of times where we feel shut out is we get presented with the answers, but we've never been involved in the process to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really unique. That can be a unique part of really nothing about us without us,
mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
Taking that to heart and really including us, being an inclusive process, not just a pretend consultation, but a real attempt to try to bring in the expertise of an amazing group of alumni. I mean, you have over 2,000 alumni.
Right.
I'm sure there's some expertise in just about everywhere in the strategic plan that you could include. And that, I think, is just what people want, is to be mm-hmm. part, or know where someone is part of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. How
something along those lines, you just made me have a great idea, with the alumni board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of us are very close, you know, pretty much like family in a lot of ways. So we, you know, talk to each other all the time. But is there a way, or would there possibly be a way to have a person, you know, possibly even creating a new position on the alumni board for that, you know, so graduates could contact that person, you know, when they say, hey, I'm having an issue with ABC, you know, can we fix this?
Yeah.
You can contact any member of the alumni board with that.
Yeah.
And as it stands right now, our chair is usually the liaison between the alumni board and the national board. Right. And the national board actually reports directly to Chris. And so,
right.
And we do too.
Yeah.
So that really is your link as the alumni board. And you don't need just one person. You can pick any one of them.
But I think
there's
that,
more than alumni board out here.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
so I think
important to recognize.
No,
that.
But,
yeah. Definitely.
No, but that could be your, I think we're probably suggesting.
Specifically about the board, though, so.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying it's just the board that is the, that's
right.
It. But if you need to have a liaison between an alumni and the...
Did sitting at the table, making decisions, bringing being responsible for bringing forward guide dog users' views and bringing a person's expertise who is also a guide dog user, not necessarily within the alumni board, but just you've got 2,000 people out here.
Yes.
Many of whom are more than willing to lend some time to support the process.
Right.
I appreciate that. How would you recommend that, you know, we do that if we don't use our alumni board to do that? How would you recommend? Because it's hard. I think we could all acknowledge it's hard to work directly with 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So
could we, then maybe what you need to do is ask the 2,000 people who might be interested from time to time to give input. Get a small resume of people's expertise, skill sets, and what they may be willing to offer the organization. And then you've got a database of people to call upon. You have 10 tech nerds, and the head of your technology has a group of people that they can call on.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
That's a great idea.
You just need to know who you have.
Right.
And from time to time, who you can call on.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yep.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we can definitely.
Well, yeah, good idea.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, how about another, so we from Vancouver, I had another idea. How about take and get an email communication going that everybody had an email address that they could, and it would go up like to a members list. Alumni and people could have communication about dog issues. This maybe communicate within the community across
Got
the world.
It. Got it. There's actually several of us, me, Roxanne,
and Mary. Several of those groups are
there. It's called the Guide Dog Lounge. It's a very high traffic list. There's a couple of staff members on it. There's a bazillion puppy raisers, and then a bunch of grads.
Well, I'm on a guide dog list, but I didn't know about this one. Okay, this is one I'd be interested in.
Yeah, that's the main one. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, pretty active every day.
All right, does anybody else have
I'm not that
excuse me.
On this morning.
Hello? Does anyone else have another question for Chris, please?
Teresa, I have a question. This is Carla, and
hey, Carla.
From Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Leading to the question that I talked to you about this morning,
mm-hmm.
When I asked, you know, and it's kind of like a good segue to my question, I think,
mm-hmm.
when I asked if Chris would be willing to hear or hire people with new ideas of new positions, my question was whether they are graduates or non-graduates and who may not be graduates but know enough about the organization that, that are also blind, of course, and visually impaired, that know enough about the organization to where they've, you know, interacted with guides or have retired or career change dogs. Would you be interested in hearing that even if people are non-graduates and are blind or visually impaired? Of course, knowing that ideally this is a guide dog school and you'd hire graduates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We're always looking for good people, right?
Right.
So
yeah, definitely check out our job listings. They're on the website if you can find them. Mm-hmm. If you can't, let me know and I can send them to you. But we have got two big jobs open right now: the director of IT and the director of development. And
mm-hmm.
so pass those around. How about another question?
Okay, I have one from Vancouver here.
Okay.
My biggest concern is Guide Dogs is so big of an organization. Chris, what is your main focus in the, everybody says what you want to do in 5 and 10 years, but what is your focus of changing in the first year? Have you seen goals or areas that we are, that need change now?
So my focus for this first year is twofold. Building trust with staff, volunteers, alumni, donors, because we can't do anything moving forward without trust. And then secondly, it's really focusing on bringing more money into the organization through fundraising versus trying to cut expenses. Those are the two key areas in the first year.
Yep. All right. And any other questions for Chris?
I have a question.
Okay.
Go ahead. Are you going to continue or try to improve? Because there hasn't been really any changes on the distance learning idea that they were working on to give handlers and puppy raisers more information, kind of like the
e-learning
training thing on the web page.
Yes. So I'm going to say watch this space. So, yes, we have just recently identified someone on staff whose primary job is to develop that whole, we call it e-learning or distance learning, open learning. For guide dogs. I think it's very important. Absolutely. Again, it's a big project, so it's not something that's going to happen overnight, but resources are being put towards that.
Right. I do know, with that a little bit, Marilyn, when I had a friend who just went in class and graduated at the end of March, and they did have the alumni or the class member conference call prior to going into class, and so she was able to talk to people before going into class, and I really like that idea. So that, that was brought up, Hillary Everett brought that up several months ago, and then it was already being implemented in March. So
great.
It's coming.
All right. Anyone else with a question?
I had time. This is Robin.
Hi, Robin.
From Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. This might sound kind of bizarre, but we were talking about technology a minute ago.
Yeah.
And we probably all the people, well, this is very futuristic, but it would be so cool to have a dog collar that could measure the health of your dog. It would keep track of, pulse and respiration and temperature and how much exercise or if there's any concerns in hydration or. And that would be, you guys say you're in Silicon Valley, and I know all the technologies have probably been developed. It all has to be put together. And then it would,
we wear a pedometer, why can't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea.
It's kind of but what would be kind of cool is, it'd probably be too expensive to develop, but if you could get, a university or some group to develop it, and then it could even go to all the guide dogs, would be the first school to, have such a device.
Good.
You couldn't depend on it only. You'd still have to, use your common sense. But it would be kind of a cool first start, and maybe it could be marketed to, the regular public, because the regular public are dog, and that could get our name out to, I don't know, maybe by doing that people would be they're making money on this, we don't need to donate, mm-hmm. so there might be a conflict there. But I just think it would be a cool idea, and all the pieces are probably, available, they just need to be put together.
Mm-hmm. I think that... there's so much that can be done with technology. It's almost, it's almost, there's sort of nothing that can't be accomplished, if we put our minds to it. But I think that the things that, part of our strategic sort of focus as well has got to be, one from the technology side, and also developing the right partnerships to work with, because clearly, developing some of these types of products isn't our expertise, but it's around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Something along those lines also, with the technology and things, I graduated in Oregon last February, a year ago, and I had taken all my class lectures, listened to the CDs before going into class, and then I know that some people were using Victor Reader Streams to do that, which I've also done. But that's another thing that I think instructors, you know, not just the people that are overnighting, I think on Sue in Oregon, you know, I mean, love her to pieces, but, you know, I mean, people need to have knowledge of, you know, hey, I need to find such and such lecture on my Victor Reader Streams. Help, you know. Because, you know, you may have a 75-year-old person in class that's never used a computer before.
Right.
Or, you know, is clueless. And I'm trying to teach my 68-year-old father how to use Siri. And I'm going to thump him on the nose if he doesn't learn.
Right. Don't underestimate the seniors.
No. No, there's no idea I know.
All right. Well,
she's 87 and can out-computer me, so... Yeah.
That's cute, Holly. We're running out of a little of time here, but I want Sam to be able to do any follow up or finish up our interview with Chris. Sam, do you have anything else?
I don't have any more questions. I just have a thank you for everyone who phoned in, asked the good questions, asked the hard questions, and a thank you for Chris for making herself available and making herself a wide open moving target and letting us look out, taking us on. And we are we're a hard crowd to please, but we are very kind, and we are only too happy to. Welcome you to our family, and
I
really are one. Yes, we are a family, and we welcome you to it.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate being part of this family, and I will say that you're an amazing, amazing group of people, and I really look forward to working with you going forward. I really mean that.
All right, well, thanks, everyone. Have a lovely rest of your week. Thank you, Chris. This has been awesome. And I have to say that Chris has
Thank
the
you.
Dog approval because both of my dogs were, like, laying in her lap while she was talking. So they were completely ignoring me, and they like her. So
she, I love it.
So she gets the four paws up or whatever.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Have
and
a good night. What's that?
And can you get Atris to sit still?
I know. She's amazing. All right.
Okay. Everybody up in Oregon and San Rafael, all the instructors who provide the human touch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Have the human touch.
Good night.
Good night.